The topic for tonight was what's in a name, a study of Megillat Rut. And there's a reason for that, and that is that Shem is a very important theme in this Megillah. Megillat Rut is structured, according to most literary critics, as the perfect drama. 85 verses, 5 prologue, 5 epilogue, and smack dab in the middle, 75, in which you have a build-up of a drama. You get up your climax, and then you've got your denouement. Sandwiched between are, as I said, 5 verses and 5 verses that do nothing more than introduce the characters and then the progeny of the characters. And there are words that are repeated almost as if it sets like a hammer for you to understand a specific theme. So I will work on that with you to try to get a certain sense of what importance this is. In the process, we will also try to get a certain sense of some of the marvelous events and the very touching scenes that we have here. It's a lyrical little story of family. We don't have battles. There's no great heroes. There's no villains. This is really the story of ordinary people. Some of them rise up to the occasion. Some of them are a little bit disappointing. But they're not evil. There's no evil here, because those that were perhaps morally questionable are gone. And we have, as a result, the following. 3 dead: Elimelech, Mahlon, and Chilion, his sons. We'll discuss that in a minute. We've got 3 women: Nomi, Opa, and Ruth. It's almost like if you had to go and create a cast of characters and you were trying to make a play, here's what we've got here. We've got 3 major men are actually have parts and are going to speak. Okay? They are Boaz. There is a man who is Ploni Almoni, and the anonymous fellow, and there is an unnamed supervisor over the fields. And then you have a cast of extras, a whole bunch of yentes from Bethlehem. They're the noisiest, most rambunctious bunch you have ever seen. And we have a collection of honorable men, the Zakenim, and we need to have them. They're going to be in the Sha'al. And in the background, you've got, of course, the setting of a place called Bethlehem. But before you've got Bethlehem, you are going to the opposite of Bethlehem, and there is a subtle sense of irony in this lyrical tale. And it begins to become apparent from the very first verse. Even in the Ksuvim, we approach them as presuming that unnecessary verbiage is not unnecessary. So if you read as follows, Vayhi bimei shfot hashoftim, Vayhi rav ba'aretz, you could have been a decent copy editor and simply cut it out and said, Vayhi bimei hashoftim rav ba'aretz. You don't need anything else. And then you repeat again, Vayhi. Now, the Medrash picks up on that immediately. You see, Vayhi always tells us that it is a sad undertone to what's going to become a happy ending story. So anybody here who knows anything about cinematography knows that what we do is we have in the background, the music is going to be rather sad, even when things are happy, because there is a double layer that's going on here, and you're going to soon see it. It was in the days of Shvot HaShoftim. If they're Shoftim, then they were Shvot HaShoftim. So who judged the judges? In fact, it was in the era that we call of the judges, right from Yehoshua Binun all the way to the first king, Shaul, written by the last of the Shoftim, whose name was Shmuel, who was so opposed to the monarchy initially. But it was an era in which, as the book of Judges keeps repeating, Ish hayashar be'einav yaaseh, and everyone did whatever the heck they felt like, and the nation failed to forge a unity. there were tribes, and it was as long as I'm okay in my little Daladamos, to heck with what's happening with everybody else. There was no sense of communal responsibility, and even less of national patriotism. Then you get the words Vayhi Rav Baaretz, so you have repeated again. And immediately you get this sentence, wait a minute, throughout the Tanakh we have periods in Eretz Yisrael of drought, and there is Rav Baaretz. But you also get this kind of an echo of Rav Lema. Hine yamim baim, vihishlachti Rav Baaretz, right? It says their days will come and I will unleash a famine in the land. Lo Rav lalechem, velo tzama lamayim, kim lidvar Hashem. It's not hunger for bread. It's not thirst for water. There's a lack of leadership. There's a lack of guidance. And as a result, the following can happen. Vayelech ish mi beit lechem Yehuda, lagur bisdei Moav. Now, if you know anything about the terrain and anything about the geography of this area, you recognize that if there's famine in the area on the western side of the Jordan River, it's going to be as bad, if not worse, on the eastern side. And where is he leaving? He's leaving Beit Lechem, which of course means there's a hunger, and he leaves the house of bread to go to the field. He's leaving civilization to go to a place which is not civilized. He's leaving his homeland for what? For the great riches there? So the Medrash fills it up for us. Lagur bisdei Moav. He went there just to be there for a while in Sdei Moav. Hu v'ishto u'shnei banav. He, his wife, and his two sons. Okay, you've introduced them. But now we go backwards. V'shem ha'ish Elimelech. V'shem ishto Nomi. V'shem shnei banav Machlon v'chilion. The man's name is Elimelech. My man, you could have done that a minute ago. You could have, instead of saying a man from Beit Lechem, you could have said Elimelech mi Beit Lechem Yehuda went to did such and such. He and his wife Nomi and his two sons Machlon and Chilion. Why are you making such a fuss about their names? The name is Elimelech. Her name is Nomi. The name of his two sons are Machlon v'Chilion. Well, you'll soon find out as follows. The word name, appears 5 times in the first chapter, 2 times in the second chapter, 7 times in the last chapter. And the entire story is all about trying to produce a child who will bear the name of the lost husband, and as a result will not only become heir to his property, but will leave a zecher. Now this is critical, because a name is very important. The book of Mishlei tells us, Tov Shem Tov Mishem Men Tov, a good name. And everybody always hears about Ketel Shem Tov, and what it means to have a name. And we Jews can't even explain if there has been a death in the family, and an enikel is born, and he bears the name. Oh yeah, yichas, until you can finally get a name, there is a name. And how horrible when there is no name. Such that Yeshayahu, the prophet, goes and gives comfort for those who would have no children or whose families were eradicated, God promising them that he will leave, he will build a Yad Vashem for them. That's where the name Yad Vashem, as the Holocaust Lord. Kabbalistically, a name is your essential being. And they point out that the word neshama, nun, shin, mem, hey, in the middle has the word shem. Such that, as Proverbs tells us, ner Hashem, nishmat ha'adam. The candle of God, the nun and the hey, is the human soul. The human soul is a spark of divinity, and that's what carries the name. And chas v'shalom, when we speak about the fact that somebody has karet, it's that his name is cut off and there's no memory and no continuation. When we light a candle, remember we said Ner Hashem Nishmat Adam, and we're going to have Yiskor, second day of Yom Tov, right? In a sense, what we do, those that are the descendants, we take up the torch and we continue to light it. And we say, we will continue the fire burning. And we will then transmit it to the next generation, and then the next generation, and then the next generation. And as we say it, Licht Benchen, Shelo Yechabe Nereinu Leolam, so that my candle will never be extinguished. But what happened to this family is that their candle was extinguished. These people, Elimelech, Nomi, Machlon, Vechilion, we hear something incredible here, very rare in the Tanakh. They're called Ephratim, mi Beit Lechem, Yehuda. Now, typically the word Ephrat was meant for people who come from Shevet Ephraim, or live in Har Ephraim. So Elkanah, the husband of Hannah, is called an Ephrati, though he is a Levi, but he lived in Har Ephraim, hence Ephrati. Those that were called Ephratim and came from Beit Lechem Yehuda took on a woman's name. Her name was Ephrat, the wife of Kalev. Sometimes there was a famous woman in the family, and they changed their names. The Malshot changed his name for his mother-in-law's name. Can you imagine a mother-in-law? He changed his last name, Milzen and Edels. We are Edels. We belong to Edel. She supported him. She helped him publish his books. Not unusual. This happens. There's a lot of names. Ruchamkin, a very famous rabbinic family, is named for a woman named Ruchama. They did this. So the Ephratim. But Ephratim had a different connotation. It would be like saying Rothschilds. They were aristocrats. Chashuvim. And particularly when you add the word Ha'ish, Ha'isha. Ha'ish v'ha'isha, Ha'ish Moshe, when you add the name and the word, the title, Ish, Er is a mensch, somebody to be accounted for, he isha chashuva. The Medrash fills in the missing pieces later on to tell us that, of course, they were very wealthy. And we're told again, as if we didn't hear it once, Ephratim mi Beit Lechem Yehuda, v'yavos de Moav v'yisham. So in three verses you heard Shem, 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 Sham. And then, Vayamat Elimelech Ish Nomi. Now we already know who he is, and he knows that he's Nomi's husband. So why do you have to indicate again, and he died, Elimelech, the husband or the man of Nomi. And Chazal tell us, Ein Ish Met Ela Leishto, Ve'ein isha meta ela lebala. A man does not die except to his wife, and a woman doesn't die except to her husband. And they're called alman ve'almana because of the root word ilem, mute. You see, during the day you go to work, you do what you need to do, and then you come home to a silent home. And there's nobody to say hello, and nobody to ask you how was your day. You may as well be mute. It's that silence. We are repeating the fact that it's Ish Nomi, because the one that felt the loss was she. And in case you missed it, it says, Vatishael hi ushnei baneha. And she remained. She and her two sons. You didn't have to say it twice. Tishael means she. But instead we say, Vatishael hi. She remained, she and her two sons. Get the sense of the picture narrowing and their world becoming smaller and smaller. Vayisu lahem nashim Moabiyot, they married Moabite women. And this is not merely you married a shiksa. This is like marrying a Nazi. The Moavim, when we came to Eretz Israel, they are, yeah, they're our cousins, born of incest. And they flouted the incest. It's called Me'av, Moav, from dad, Lot's daughter, who didn't even hide where her children came from. And we begged for permission to transport and cross their territory, Chas v'Shalom, not to take any of it, to cross over and pay for the privilege. And God forbid, if we eat something or buy something, we will pay full price. And instead, what they did is they came out with weaponry and threatened us with war. And we had to skirt around and go further north. So these people are as stingy. They can't vergin the Laban. You understand? This is the character that we're dealing with here. So that's who they married. Shem ha'echat Opa. Remember Shem? Okay. Veshem ha'shenit Rut. Now you got the two names. Vayishvu Sham. Ke'esel shani. Again. Shem. Sham. And they lived there for 10 years. Vayamutu gam shnehem, and they too died childless. Machlon v'chilion, vatishael ha'isha, and so the woman was left bereft mishne yeladeha umi'isha, from her two children and from her man. Well, her man already died 10 years ago, or at least 10 years ago. So v'stamonsach. But Chazal tell us that when there's a new pain, it arouses the old one. And now you're getting the sense of her complete desolation and loneliness. Shem, Shem, and it's all gone. And there's no one left but her. At which point we're told as follows. Vatakam hi v'chaloteha. She and her daughters-in-law got up. Vatashav misdei Moav. And they returned, she returned, it doesn't say they returned, she returned from the fields of Moab. Kishama bisdei Moab, ki pakad Hashem et amo latet lahem lechem. She heard in Sdei Moab, I guess peddlers came by, travelers came by, that the Ribbono Shel Olam had finally remembered and given them bread. Hence lechem. Now, you were just told that she went, got up, and returned. Comes the next verse and says, Batitze min ha-makom. She left the place. Well, she'd have a hard time returning from Sdei Moav if she didn't leave it. She'd also have a hard time doing it if she didn't get up. Why do I need to be told that she got up? And why do I need to be told that she left? Batitze min ha-makom. Chazal do here exactly what they do in Parshat Vayetze. In Vayetze it says that Yaakov left Eretz Canaan to go to Haran. Well, yeah, he couldn't go to Haran if he didn't leave Eretz Canaan. And they say, from here we see that when an important person leaves, Yatzah Hadara, Yatzah Yofya, all of the beauty, all of this, there's a sense of emptiness. Apparently she made an impact on where she was living, such that it was felt there. And we say the same thing for Naomi. Batetze min ha-makom asher hayta shama. She went out from the place where she had been. But I suspect that there is an additional issue here. To get up is, first of all, what you do when you get up from Shiva. But to get up, komemiyut, or to uprise, is to rebel. You see, Naomi had gone along. Elimelech chose to leave Eretz Yisrael not because they were hungry, but precisely because they were not. There was a famine and they were rich. And the schnurs didn't stop knocking on the door. And he figured, get me out of here before they eat me out of house and home. And he came from an important family and he was an ish. But he was selfish and he was going to keep it for himself. So he left what was Bethlehem to a place which actually was poorer, but because he had money, he could survive, but he would not be constantly hounded for his social responsibility to take care of his townsmen, of his extended family. He wouldn't need to do that. Naomi is just the wife, and a wife does what her husband wants, so we can't hold them responsible, can we? Until finally, when she's on her own, who are we going to blame now? Who are we going to blame? Who's responsible now? And for the first time, Naomi gets up. She rises up from the old patterns and leaves the place where she was at, the mental place, the emotional place where she was at, and picks herself up together with her two daughters-in-law, Vatelechna Baderech Lashuv El Eretz Yehuda. And they went together on the road. Vatomer Nomi Lishtei Kaloteh. So she turns to her two daughters-in-law. Shovna Isha Levet Ima. Go back home to your mama's houses. Yaseh Hashem Imachem Chesed. May God do this loving kindness that you did, Kasher Asitem Im Hametim V'Imadi, as you did it with the dead and with me. They were apparently very good wives, even if they were shiksas. And they were very kind to her and very deferential. And she prays, Yiten Hashem Lachem, may God give each of you U'metza'ana Menucha Isha Beit Isha, may you finally find some comfort, each woman in her man's house. In other words, get up, get on with your lives, remarry, go home, go to your mom's. And she kissed them. Batishak lahen. And they all break out crying. Batisana kolan vatifkena. Vatomarna lahen. So they say to her, Lo, ki itachna shuv leamech. No, we want to go back with you to your people. Vatomer nomi. Shovna bnotai, go back, my daughters. Lama telech naimi, why would you come back with me? Haodli banim b'me'ah, you think I got other sons in my belly? You're going to sit around waiting for them? This was not about Yibum. There's no halacha of Yibum, even if they had been converts, men that had not yet been born. So halachically, there's no basis for it. Instead, what she's being very sarcastic. Shavna brotai, lechna, get out of here. Go home. Ki zakanti miyot leish. I'm too old to marry again, to be for another man. Ki amarti yesh li tikva. You think I thought that maybe I've got some hope? Tonight I'll be with some man and I'll have children. She is gridging herself. She's like ripping out her own kishkas. Halahen tesaberna, you have hope for those boys that I might one day bear until they grow up, even if I could have kids. That's why you're going to remain agunot for them and not marry another man? Ay, albnotai. No, my daughters. Kimar li meod mikem. And she lets out a Freudian slip. It could read in two ways. Mar li mikem, I am more bitter than you, mikem. Or it means, I am bitter from you. Siz mir bitter because of you. In other words, she saw, and she continues, and says why. She views what happened to her as the hand of God punishing her, and punishing her sons for the inappropriate marriages they made. And that's why she says, Ki yatza biyad Hashem. The hand of God came out at me. In other words, I'm suffering what Elimelech, Machlon, Chilion should have suffered, and it's all now on me. Vatisena kolan vatifkena. They raise their voices and start crying again, od. But opa, vatishak opa lechamota. Opa kisses her mother-in-law. Notice it doesn't say what she did. Verut tafkaba. But Ruth hugs her and won't leave her. And we only know what Orpa did because of what Naomi Elimelech said. And she says, Hine shava yivimtech elama velelohea. Look, your sister-in-law has just gone back to her people, to her gods. Shuvi acharei yivimtech. Why don't you run after her? Vatomer Ruth, Al tifkei bi. Now, lifgoa in modern Hebrew means don't insult me, don't hurt me. It does mean that in Tanakh too. It also can mean don't, they usually will translate this as don't try to persuade me, don't urge me. But there's that language there of how can you be so insulting? La'ozvech, that I should leave you. La'shuv me'achorayich, to turn my back to you. And there comes the famous line, Ki el asher telchi elech, ובאשר תליני אלין, עמך עמי ואלוהיך אלוהי. Where you go, I will go. Where you sleep, I will sleep. Your people are my people. Your God is my God. Don't turn me back to another God. Ba'asher tamuti amut. And as you die, I will die. Visham ekavel. And there I will be buried. Ruth follows her, expecting nothing. There's no expectation of remarriage. There's no expectation of inheritance. She's going with her to do nothing but to take care of this bitter old woman who has no one left. But perhaps does not quite comprehend the shande, the shame, that Naomi will experience when she walks into Beit Lechem with this Moaviah. And she says, Ko yaseh Hashem li. She literally blesses or curses herself. I'm willing to take this on. V'cho yosif, and may add on more, ki hamavet yafrid b'ni v'nech. Only death will separate us. Seeing that she refuses to budge, she stops talking to her. V'techdal ledaber aleha. And they continue walking in complete silence. V'telechna shtehem. And they walk together. And immediately it brings to mind another place. Yitzchak asks his father, here is the fire, here is the knife. Ayei hasel la'ola, where is the lamb? And they're walking right to bring offerings to God up to the Akedah. And his father tells him, God will pick out the lamb. And Yitzchak is no dummy. He understood that he's the one. Vayelchu shnehem yachdav, and you don't hear a word. The silence is deafening. And she walks with her in complete silence until they come to the city. Vayhi kivuana Beit Lechem, as they come into the city, vayhi. But vayhi, I told you, had an undertone of sadness. Vayhi is the Hebraic equivalent of oy vey. As they come into Beit Lechem, Vatehom kolair alehem. There's like a buzz. Vatomarna. And they said, now it's female, so the women spoke up. Hazot Naomi? Is this Naomi? They see a ragged woman with nothing. And Chazal tell us, Naomi never stepped a foot down in the marketplace. You need to understand that there were horses and donkeys and so on. So if you were a aristocratic woman, you'd be carried by servants on a sedan. Naomi, who was dressed in silk and embroidery, Naomi, who had always had this parasol to hide her from the hot sun, Naomi, who was known as beautiful and rich, and they recognize the face and they say, Hazot Naomi? Remember the issue of names? What's in a name? Batomar alehen, al tikrana li Naomi. Don't call me Naomi. Krana li Mara. Call me, and she gives herself a new name. Bitter. Ki hemar shakai li meod. For God has made my life very bitter. Ani melea halachti, I left here full. Verekam heshivani, and he brought me back empty. Lama tikrana li Naomi? Why are you calling me Naomi? They continued. She hears her name being buzzed around. VeHashem anabi, God testified against me. VeShakai hirali, and he's been bad to me. And then there's a strange line, completely unnecessary at the surface. Vatashav Naomi. Veruta Maavia Kalata Ima Hashava Misde Moav Vehema Bau Beit Lechem Betchilat Ktzir Seorim. Everything that's said here is completely redundant, except to say that they came at the time when it was the harvest Seorim. Why are you repeating it? And she came back, and she brought Ruth with her. The Malbim teaches us that when you have an unnecessary statement, it does not mean what it looks like it means. There is the physical coming back, And then there is the word called tshuva, the repentance, the attempt to somehow get your recompense, feeling that whatever you're going to go through is somehow what you deserve and an atonement of sorts. And that's what she came back for. Okay, now I'm not going to read you the rest of the story. There's not enough time, right? So you all remember that we're dealing here with a woman going back to whatever home they had. The fields have laid fallow. Nobody plowed them. There's nothing to eat. They are destitute. But everybody knows who she is. And there is even a relative. Ulonomi moda leisha. There is a relative that is her husband's relative, possibly even his brother, according to one, or a nephew. Ish gibor chayil mimishpachat Elimelech. And his name is Boaz. But he hasn't done a thing, has he? The resentment of these people who would not share. And now they're coming back here. You understand? Nobody lifts a finger. But should Nomi go around and ask for help? Pasnisht. Pasnisht. So, Vatomer Ruta Moavia El Nomi. In case we don't know who Ruth is and that she's a Moavia, we're now hearing that this Moavia, who comes from a people of such horrific midas, speaks to Nomi and tells her, I'll go out to the field to try to glean whatever I can glean. Because the halacha is that when they reap the fields, they have to leave a corner for the poor. And the stray is picked up by people. That's all. Let me go. I'll go try to find somebody. And she's perfectly happy to let her do it. You know, that's all she needs to do now is go out there and beg. Vatomer lechi biti, go. Vatelech vatavo. Now, in modern Hebrew, that phrase has a lot of meanings. And she went and she came. And she gathered in a field after the reapers. Whatever stray grain is left, she picked them up. But why vatelech vatavo? Well, in Israel, there is a very developed bureaucracy. And when you're new olea, you learn very quickly about what it means, telech tavo. You're told to go to one office at one time and they tell you he's not in, come tomorrow. You come tomorrow, you say, no, he had a meeting, you'll show up the next day. Vatelech vatavo. It means you're being given the runaround. But what does it mean, vatelech vatavo? Remember, she's a Moavia. The halacha of leaving something for the poor was not for other people's. It was for our own. And in comes this shiksa and she wants to glean here. They kick her out. So she went from field to field to field until finally somebody let her in. Vayiker mikre. It turned out to be an accident by mikre. Some accident. Where they let her in happened to be the fields that belonged to Boaz. And in case you managed to forget, Asher mimishpachat Elimelech. That's in case you've got amnesia and you forgot about what we just told you a minute ago. We're repeating again. Which means that they actually let her in because they were a bit embarrassed because after all, she's a shtikale mishpuche. Okay? So he brought her in. Vihine Boaz ba mi Betlechem. Whoops! And guess what? Boaz just showed up from Betlechem. He's a very important man. He sits on the Sanhedrin. And he's coming to check because, God forbid, if you hire workers and you don't check on them, you know, then you're an idiot, right? So you're going to go see how things are going. Vayomer lakotzrim, as he comes there, he sees the reapers, and he says, you know, that's appropriate for a man of his stature. Hashem imachem, may God be with you. And they answered him beautifully, Yevarechecha Hashem, may God bless you. And as he watches and scans the field, Vayomer Boaz lenaro hanitzav lakotzrim. Now, a nar can mean a lad, it can mean a fool, or it can mean a servant. So whoever his foreman was, who was appointed to stand over and oversee the reaping, he asks him, "Lemi anara zot?" He doesn't ask, "Who is she?" He asks, "Whose is she?" Chazal tell us that her demeanor, or how she was dressed, or how people didn't relate to her, you will soon see, made her stand out. How do I know from what he says? Now, this boy doesn't know if he did the right thing or the wrong thing. Maybe he's in trouble. Vayan anar anitzav al hakotzrim, vayomar. He answers and he said. Well, we got the answer, so why do you have to say? So he starts, he's like hemming and hawing. He starts saying, well, nara moaviyahi hashava imnomi mizdei moav. Yeah, I know that she's a moaviyah, but Vatomer laktana, she said to me, please let me glean here. I will only go after the reapers. I'm not going to take anything otherwise. Vatavo vataamod me'az hapoker ve'adata. And she's been standing here since this morning until now. This is the first time she's resting a little bit and she's sitting near the house, apparently to get away from the hot sun. Now he's safe. So Boaz approaches her. Vayomer Boaz el Rut. Halo shamat biti? Remember how he talked to everybody else? May God bless you. Hashem aleichem, right? Hello. Instead he says, halo shamat biti? Didn't you hear me? But he adds the word biti, my daughter. Now when would you say halo shamat? He called her. He addressed her. But she turned a deaf ear. Because she's been turning a deaf ear all day. All day long, she has suffered such verbal abuse that she turned a deaf ear. So when a man is calling her, she does not respond. So she says to her, didn't you hear me? And the next word he says is, Al tilchi, don't go. Because when he finally got her attention, what did she start doing? Running away. So you know what action there is by what he says. If you say, don't go, it means she started. Don't go somewhere else, he says. V'gam lo tavor mizeh, don't leave here. Tidbikin im narota, you stick with my girls. You stick with my girls. Get your eyes out on the field. Look at there. You see where they're reaping over there? You can go after them. Which means she got into the field, but she got precious little that day. I commanded the boys not to touch you. Now, why would you command the boys not to touch her unless that's what's been going on all day? She's not only been called all kinds of names, but she's been pushed and shoved and pinched. Vetzamit, and if you're thirsty, you can come over here and drink. They used to have big utensils there for the workers to drink. And you can drink, which means that up until now they would not let her drink. And the response for the first words of kindness, for the first human gesture, Vatipol al paneha, she falls on her face, bows to him, and says, Madua matzati chen be'enecha. Why did I find favor in your eyes that you recognize me, lehakireni? Perhaps you made a mistake, old man. Anochi nochriya. I'm a shiksa. I think maybe you're mistaken. Maybe you're a good old man, you understand? But maybe you're making a mistake. Maybe you don't intend to do this. And Boaz, at that point, confesses. Vayomer la, huged hugadli. I've been told and told again. You see that double language? Kol asher asit et chamotech, whatever you did for your mother-in-law, acharei mot ishech, after your husband died. Vatazvi avich v'imech, you left your father and your mother. Ve'eretz moladetech, and the land of your birth. V'telchi el am asher lo yadat mol shilshom, and you came to a nation that you did not know yesterday or the day before. In fact, he compares her to none other than Avraham Avinu, who was told, lech lecha me'artzecha u'mimuladetcha u'mibeit avicha. May God pay you, he says, v'tihi maskutech shlema, a full reward, only from Hashem Elokei Yisrael, asher bat lachasot tachat knafav, that you came to rest under his wings. In other words, he knows that she has chosen to convert. He knows the whole story. But he hasn't done anything. He hasn't done anything. But the sight of her shamed him into action. It shamed him and embarrassed him into action. And she says, "Oh, may I emtzachem be'enecha, Adoni. I hope that I find favor in your eyes. Ki nichamtani, for you've comforted me. V'chi dibarta al lev shifchatcha. You spoke to my heart." In Yiddish is an expression, "Dus me'upgeret ha'arz." It's as if you could read my thoughts, you could read my feelings. You're reading my heart. V'anochi lo eye kechat shifchotecha. I'm not even as good as one of your maids. Well, she started working. And by the time they used to feed the reapers, he calls her le'et ha'ochel, and he says, "Goshi halom, come over here. Come eat with from the bread that everybody else is eating." You see, she's still very reluctant to approach. V'tavalt pitech b'chometz. I want you to take the bread and dip it into vinegar. They used to dip it into vinegar, to give it flavor and to make it soft. Do you understand? Because it would be hot and dry in this weather. And secondly, as you would take salt in hot weather to prevent you from dehydration, they used to take vinegar. Vateshev mitzad hakotzrim. So she sat at the side of the reapers, not among them. She separated herself. And he approaches her, vayitzbot lakali. They would take the grain, the whole grain, and soak it in water, like you would make bulgur wheat or tabule. And you could eat then, right then and there, you understand, fresh. So he takes some for her, and he gives it, and he brings it to her. And we're told then, vatochal, vatisba, vatota. She ate, she was satisfied, and she packed the rest up. Harav Yoshua Bachach, in his famous book called Ima Shel Malchut, has a footnote. And he says that whenever he comes to this section, he describes a scene that occurred in the Israeli court when they brought Eichmann to trial. They brought a man by the name of René Blum, who was a Jewish socialist serving in the French parliament, to testify about the Umschlagplatz, which became in Drancy, where they collected the children to send them off to the death camps. At that time, some of the adults, including René, came and were allowed. Drancy was a holding camp until they collected enough to fill up the whole train. And they came there and brought food. And he came in and they distributed the food. And he said he saw there a little boy who was clearly very well dressed. The clothing, he says, clearly indicated that he came from a upper class family, though the sleeve had been torn out of its seam and he was missing one shoe. And he asked him for his name and he said his name was Jacques. And he asked him about his family and he said his mother is very beautiful and she plays the piano. And he gave him biskvitim, little cookies. And so he took the biskvit and he put one in his pocket and he says, "This is for my mommy when I'll meet her again." And at that point he broke out crying. "Do you think I'll see my mommy again?" Vatochal, vatisba, vatotar. She ate, she was satisfied, and she saved the rest to take home to Nomi. Not to wait until we would be able to thresh the grain and grind it and bake it. What's she going to eat until then? So she saved it. Vatakam lelaket, and she went again to gather after the meal. And Boaz again commands his boys, Vayitzav Boaz et Na'arav, allow her to gather between the gigantic piles of grain. Ve'al tachlimua, and stop humiliating her. Ve'gam shol tashilu la min hatzvatim, and throw some around so she can gather enough. Ve'azavtem v'likta, ve'lo tigaruba, and stop admonishing or yelling at her. So she gathered until evening, and she beat whatever she had gathered, and there was enough of an eifa. Vatisa vatavo, she carried it and brought it into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she brought, and she gave her what she had saved for her. Vatomer lachamota, eifo lekatet hayom, ve'ana asit, where did you gather today? And where, what did you do? Because Nomi knew that she would be mistreated. And Nomi knew that nobody had come and given her anything. And so her wonder was at that moment, What did she do to bring home all of this? Yehi mikirech baruch. Well, blessed he whoever was that recognized you. Vatagid lecha mota et asher asta imo. So she told her mother-in-law who she did with. And you understand the double entendre here? Shem ha'ish asher asiti imo. You see, her mother-in-law presumed that she had perhaps prostituted herself. So the man that I did it with, she says, is Boaz. V'tomer Naomi, oy, Baruch Hashem. Baruch hu l'Hashem asher lo azav chasdo et ha'chaim v'et ha'metim. She was happy for what she brought. But thank goodness that we didn't have to go to that level. And at that point she tells her, Karov lanu ha'ish, he's our relative. Migo aleinu, he could be one of our redeemers. Well, then Naomi will come up and her wheels are turning. And the guy was nice to her. Now let's see what we can do. And she advises her to go and wash herself and get some makeup on and put on her nice clothes and go to him because he guards the threshing floor at night. And you will remember that she creeps there at night and she, this time of the year, while it can be very hot by day, it can get chilly at night, she uncovers his feet. Now, when a chill sets in, what do? If you got uncovered a little bit, by your left foot. He's trying to get the cover on him, and it's not budging. And he sees a specter there. And there we hear, and we will hear this twice, Miat, it's clearly a woman. Who are you? Vatomer Anochi Rut, Amatecha, spread your wing over me. Which is an offer to have his way with her. And that's what her mother-in-law sent her to do. Ki goel ata. For you're the Redeemer. Instead, of course, he withholds. And he tells her, Bruchat la Hashem biti. You are blessed to God. What you've wanted to do now is greater than what you've done up until now. Had you wanted to go after, you could have gone after one of the young men. Boaz was an old man. For everybody knows that a young woman would prefer Bachurim, be he rich, be he poor, rather than an old man. Don't worry, I will do what you told me to. For everybody knows Ki Eshet Chailat. And that's why we presume that Eshet Chail was written in honor of Rut. And it's true that I might be next in line, but there is somebody who is closer in blood relation. Now I need you to know, I'm not going to go into the halachas of Yibum. There is no halacha of Yibum l'kol ha'deyas applying in this case. None. But there is an issue of not allowing the land that had belonged to Elimelech to go out of the tribe. And that land is now belonging to Naomi. But with Naomi's death, it will go back to the tribe, unless Naomi marries, and that they would not want. So there's an interest in the tribe to keep that land either within the clan or certainly within the tribe. And as a result, he tells her, we will deal with this later on. In the meantime, lay here, but before dawn, before people can see, she got up, and before she leaves, he asks her to take her mitpachat. She had a scarf, and he gives her shisha se'orim, 6 grains. Some say it can't be 6 grains. It must have been 6 measures of grain to take home. So she shouldn't go, and he says so she shouldn't go home empty-handed. And some say that this is nothing more than a symbol. 6 kings that will come from David all the way throughout the generations, as well as the 6 gifts that Yeshayahu cites for Melech HaMoshiach. Ruach, Chochmah, Binah, etc., etc., etc. But it goes on there. He gives it to her, and she comes back home. She runs home before anybody can see. As she comes in, her mother-in-law says to her, Miat. Miat, Biti. Who are you? Is she blind? Didn't she see who it was? Who does she expect this is? What is it that she's asking her? When I got married, we went for breakfast the next morning to my grandmother's house. And as we came in, she said like this, Bishana Vaibala? Are you a wifey yet? That's what she asked her. That's what this means. Miat. Who are you? So she told her, it's Kola Shera Salai. She told her whatever he did. Because that's what she wanted to know. Which, of course, he did nothing. At which point she said, he sent me these six stalks of grain. And he said, don't go empty-handed to your mother-in-law. At which point she tells her, sit here. Don't worry, he'll take care of it. I understand the hint. It's all taken care of. He'll do what he needs to do. The rest, of course, as you know, is that they went to the man who should have or who was next in line, and he says, Felt Miltzuris, are you crazy? I'm going to destroy my household. Take her. Nah, you want her, have her. Zintelate. And sure enough, they get married. And when they get married, we get again all of the extras. You remember all the extras in the market? And what do we hear? We hear them all saying as follows. Vayomru kol ha'am asher bashar. All the people there. This was a big hubbub. Vehaskenim edim yiten Hashem et ha'isha ba'al beitcha. May this woman that comes into your home be like Rachel and Leah, who together built the whole household of Am Yisrael. Ve'asechayil be'efrata. And be valorous in Ephrata, ukara shem beBetlehem, and call out a name in Betlehem. In other words, redeem the soul of Mahlon. And by redeeming the soul of Mahlon, he will redeem the soul of his father. And there will be a continuation. And may your house be like the house of Peretz. Do you remember who Peretz is? Peretz is the second son. Zerach and Peretz, that Tamar gave birth to. She too was a Canaanite, remember? And she was married to Yehudas. And she bore the two children, Zerach and Peretz. So notice that they bless her to be like like Rachel and Leah, and his home should be like the house of Peretz, which was born by Tamar for Yehuda. May God give you that. But the greatest chesed of all is, of course, that this is the only woman in the entire 24 books of the Tanakh that we hear, Vayiten Hashem la herayon. God gave her a pregnancy. Now, this is not about immaculate conception. Don't go there. But that it's a direct gift from God, Vateled ben, and she had a son. You won't hear from her again. You won't. And all the Yachnas are there. Vatomarna anashim el nomi. Baruch Hashem asher lo yishbit lach goel hayom veikare shmo b'Yisrael. And they're going to give a name in Israel. And we, to this day, when we give a name to a child, veikare shmo b'Yisrael, that will be his name in Israel. And he will be there to take care of you in your old age, this child. He will restore your soul for your daughter-in-law that loves you, gave birth to him, and she's better to you than seven sons. So in case you recognize that there is a multicultural notion that daughters-in-law and mothers-in-law have to hate each other, comes Naomi and Ruth and throws that in your face and indicates what an incredible relationship these women had. But the relationship is largely due to one woman. Her name is Ruth. Because what happens then is, Vatikach Nomi et hayeled, Vatishitehu becheka. Nomi takes the child and puts him into her bosom. Vatihi lo leomenet, and she became his ama. She became his nurse. And the neighbors all came out and said, oh, Nomi has a new son. Bon shalom, it's Ruth's son. I don't know how you felt. I remember when my mother came to help me and she was going to guide me about how I should have my first child. And I said, it's my baby and you're not going to tell me how to do this and I'm smarter than you, right? Of course. But Noah Ruth is, of course, wiser and she allows her to revel in this. Vatikrana Shmo, and they named him Ovid. You'll see his father didn't name because he died. before this child was born. He's named Oved, a servant of God, and to be highest honor of all, Moshe Rabbeinu, David HaMelech, are called Eved Hashem. Who? Avi Yishai. He was the father of Yishai, and he is the father of David. And now comes the epilogue. Eile told the Peretz. These are the generations of Peretz. Peretz olidet Chetzron. Chetzron olidet Ram. Ram olidet Aminadav. Aminadav olidet Nachshon. Oh, very important names, by the way, in case you didn't recognize. Nachshon is the first one that jumps into the Red Sea, remember? And it splits. The Nachshon olidet Salma. The Salma olidet Boaz. The Boaz olidet Oved. The Oved olidet Yishai. The Yishai olidet David. Ah, what's in a name?